name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. I appreciate y'all being here this morning and every Sunday. It's good to see you have an interest in trying to learn what little bit I'm able to try to help you teach you and show you about the Bible. And this morning, if you will, unless you have anybody got a question before we go too far? Okay, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you about the Word of God. And not just, maybe not just the Word of God, but we'll start out with the Word of God. Now, where the Lord leads us, that'll be something else. Y'all come on in. And we're going to start in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Have y'all been here before? I know you have, but they haven't been here. Okay, appreciate y'all being here this morning. And we're in 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Personally, I believe that's two different times. I believe that one is the rapture, and I believe the other's over here, you know, on the other side of the tribulation. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And I don't think he's talking about the four seasons like spring, summer, winter, and fall. I think he's talking about any time that you get the opportunity to talk to somebody, preach the truth to them. You don't have to be a preacher to share how you got saved or what you're doing in your life for the Lord. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Now, what I want to talk to you about is in verse 2. Preach the word. Well, what word do we preach? I preach the whole counsel of God, don't we? Go to Acts chapter 20. Go to Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, an example of some things here. Paul, in verse 17, and from Miletus, he, that's Paul, sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, verse 18, and when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. He didn't say from church to church. Paul, you notice he said from house to house. In other words, back when Paul established churches, he established churches in a school, and he established churches in a home. Verse 21, testifying both to the Jews. Well, I believe Paul went to the Jew first. When Paul, in Acts chapter 13, he was sent by the Holy Spirit, him and Barnabas, and I believe he went to the Jew first. And Paul said it was necessary in Acts 13:46 that the word of God be first preached to you. And he said, but seeing you, these Jews, don't accept this thing, and I'm not quoting it, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Okay? So Paul, at a time back here, when he first started preaching, went to the Jew first. Later on, he went to the Jew and Gentiles. And you'll find that, and I believe you'll find that starting in Acts chapter 14, Paul went into the synagogue of the Jews, and there were Jews and Greeks, and the Greeks are Gentiles. You understand? Now, all Gentiles are not Greeks. Because later on, Paul went to Gentiles that were not in the covenants of promise, such as us, such as those in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. These here would fit. Now, I'm going to save Ephesians 1, 12, just for clarity. But Paul went to the Jew first. They didn't accept it. He went to the Jew and the Gentile. Later on, he goes to Gentiles, specifically Gentiles. Now, watch what he says to these people here he's writing to in Acts 20. Well, he ain't writing it. Luke is writing it, but Paul's doing the preaching here. In verse 21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. None of these things move me, neither count of my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. So I believe that when Paul testifies the gospel of the grace of God, he's talking about these Gentiles over here that are not in the covenants of promise. And I'm going to show you in the next verse or two why I'm saying that. Now, let's read on. Verse 25, and now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Now here's our verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Had he showed these people here all that he knew? Come on, listen to me. In Acts chapter 9, the Lord appeared to Paul. Acts chapter 18, the Lord appeared to Paul in the temple. Paul said, I have a revelation. Well, I tell you what, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, and I had a preacher's son who spent several years in a Bible college that told me this was not Paul. I asked him, I said, what do they teach y'all up there? History. You can get history out of a history book. You learn the Bible by teaching the Bible. Now, in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Well, he did. The Lord appeared unto him in Acts 9. He appeared unto him in Acts 18. Verse 2, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one, caught up to the third heaven. I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How? That he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. In other words, Paul was given further revelations here, but the Lord told him, it's not time for you to tell this. So in Acts chapter 20, what I'm trying to get to you, the words that Paul had for these people, he declared to them the whole counsel of God, and he would have done that by the knowledge that's in the Old Testament scriptures. You understand? Mm-hmm. Over and over and over in the book of Acts, Paul quotes out of the Old Testament scriptures to those who first trusted in Christ in here. You understand? But when he gets to us over here, he doesn't do that. Why? Because he's preaching unsearchable riches to the Gentiles such as us that are not in the covenants of promise. We are not in covenant promises. So if you see a church that says we're a covenant church, just yawn real big because they don't understand what's going on. You understand? Now, watch what he says here. Of this man that was caught up into paradise, verse 5, of such an one will I glory. Who is he glorying by? He's a glorying about the one that he saw. You understand? He ain't glorying in his own flesh. Yet, of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I know that I is the same as the two verses that Paul said there was a man caught up into paradise. You understand how he was caught up? So when I get to verse 6, I see Paul. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Who got those revelations in chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4? Paul did, didn't he? Well, he said he did right here. Through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, Paul was caught up, and he heard some things for us Gentiles. Go back to Acts chapter 20. I believe he touches on this in verse 24. In Acts chapter 20, let's go to verse 21 to pick up the context here. Testifying both to the Jews and also to Greek repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me, neither count my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Well, he didn't declare this here to them. When he declared this to them in Acts 22, what he saw in Acts 18, Paul became a prisoner for us Gentiles. You understand? He became a prisoner for saying that he's going to go to Gentiles and not in the covenants of promise. Now, anybody got a question? A problem? Don't understand? Are you going to have this on the exam someday? When you stand before the Lord's going to ask you, well, man tried to show you this, how come you couldn't believe it? All right, everybody satisfied? All right, now, Bible study. Let's look at Bible study. Paul said he declared the whole counsel of God to these people. Go to Psalms 119. I want to show you something. Psalm 119. 21 times in Psalms 119, you'll find a word that's called precepts. Precepts. 21 times in Psalms 119. Do y'all know what 3 is? Do y'all know what the number three is? Well, I might as well show you. Before we go too far, whole Psalms 119, go to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John, that's over the other, before you get to Revelations, after James, after Hebrews, before the book of Jude, right before Revelations. If you go to Revelation, back up a couple books. 1 John chapter 5, and would you believe that 5 is the number of death in the King James Bible? 5 is also the number of grace in the King James Bible, but it took death to bring grace to the world. Christ's death at Calvary brought grace to us through the Apostle Paul, not through the 12. We do not follow the teachings of the 12 apostles. 3 times 7 equals 21. All right. 1 John chapter 5, would you believe verse 7? Look at verse 7. There are 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these 3 are 3. Is that what it said? These 3 are what? Well, how come you can't get a Jehovah's Witness to believe that? You know why? They've been brainwashed to believe something else, and they will not look at the Bible, and if you show it to them, then you know what they'll say? I've done it. They'll say, well, that's your interpretation. I didn't interpret that verse. You know who holds the interpretation of the Bible according to Genesis chapter 40? God Almighty does. He holds the interpretation. Now, back to Psalms 119. What is the 3 then? God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These 3 are 1. So in Psalms 119, 21 times, you'll find that word precept. Now let's look at a few of them. The first one will be in verse 4. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Did God command people to keep his precepts? He sure did. Go to verse, we ain't going to read all of them. Go to give me a minute. Go to verse 104, I believe it is. Yes, 104. Through thy precepts, I get what?
Understand.
You want to understand your Bible? You know what you do? You do what Paul told you to do in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. Compare spiritual things with spiritual. In other words, if I preach the Word, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, preach the Word. So if I preach Genesis, I'm not going to try to preach Genesis and make you believe that you got to do what's in the book of Genesis. If I preach Genesis through Malachi, I'm not going to preach to you that you need to build you an ark. I'm not going to preach to you that you got to bring a blood sacrifice to Jerusalem as the place to take a sacrifice. So if you're going to take a blood sacrifice, you're going to have to get on the airplane or something and fly over there to Jerusalem. Where's the altar at over there now? It's gone. It ain't there. And Jerusalem is the place God said you're going to worship. And don't do like Hagee. I heard old Hagee out there in San Antonio, Texas say, this is our Jerusalem. No, this is Mobile, Alabama, and he's probably still there in San Antonio. It ain't Jerusalem. It's San Antonio, Texas. Jerusalem is in Jerusalem. That's always meant. But what do? We compare spiritual things with spiritual. And Paul told us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, consider what I say. And the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Now, in one more place here, verse 104 here. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. That's why I can't watch these preachers on television. I can't stand it. You know why? They're not bringing honor and glory to what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. They're bringing a reproach on what Christ did at Calvary. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Go with me to Philippians chapter 3. Ephesians, Philippians. If you've got Romans, go to Romans. Forward through Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians, and Philippians. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, got Colossians, back up toward Philippians. Chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk, so as you have us for an example. Well, did Paul tell us to be followers of him?
Yeah.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Well, if you go back and find out how Paul followed Christ, he did not follow Christ in his earthly ministry. Paul was a blasphemer. He was persecuting people and causing them to be put to death that believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, the King of Israel. He blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 8, he consented unto Stephen's death, and Paul did not get saved under this gospel back here in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He could not get saved by that. He was a blasphemer, so the Lord appeared unto him and saved him and called him by his grace. You understand? So if you're saved today, do you know how you're called? Do you know? Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 14. 2 Thessalonians is behind, before you get to 1 and 2 Timothy. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. He did not call you by the gospel of the 12. He did not call you by the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he called you by the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul. What is that gospel that was committed to Paul? That when Christ died at Calvary, Paul said he died for our sins. All of our sins were taken care of at Calvary. Your sin ain't your problem now. Unbelief is man's problem. Man goes to hell today because of unbelief, not because of his sin. Now, your sins may bring problems in your life. It may bring serious consequences that if you had not have committed anything wrong, you wouldn't have had that problem put on you. You understand? I imagine my health right now is a result of my sorry living from day one till now. I smoked. Shouldn't have never did that. But I know I like everybody else. I was hard-headed. Mama couldn't tell me not to do that. She'd whoop me if she'd catch me, but that didn't last long. Forgot about that shortly thereafter. But I'm sure it didn't do my health any good. I used to eat a lot of raw red meat, and I'm talking about cooked, but when I cut it, blood had run out of it. And I'm probably, that's some of my bad blood problem I'm having now, results of it. So what we do, we have results. In other words, if we make bad decisions, we sometimes reap bad results. And it's not because that Jesus Christ didn't love us, or God didn't love us. God loved us, and He proved it to you by sending His Son to die for you. So why not take care of this temple that Jesus Christ now resides in and get honor and glory to Him? Why wait till we get all crippled and bumbled up and then say, well, you know, I better trust the Lord. I might die here for in the morning. Why not do it now and get on and earn yourself some rewards at the judgment seat of Christ? You understand? I mean, you can live like hell if you want to. I watch what I say. Some of these words backfire on me. I said something one day, and that little fellow got up here before I moved out when the class opened in. He stood letting me know I said it. Be careful about little ears. Got two of them. Yeah, they learn by example more than they do by spanking. Yeah. Oh, me. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 14. Whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only will the gospel save you, but it will give you glory someday up here if you trust Christ as your Savior, if you endure to the end. No, Christ endured to the end for you. What you need to do, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Go to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Now, we're going to compare some things here in just a minute. Now, I know Paul said, be ye followers of me. Now, verse 28, a very famous passage. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now, He did not predestinate nobody that He did not foreknow. And I want my little grandson to pay attention. Because I don't know if that man's still over at Cottage Hill teaching Bible study classes or not. But in the 6th or 7th grade, they got Bible study class, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
They come to me over there. I used to try to share the truth with them people over there when I went and picked my grandkids up. And some of the parents come to me and said, my son come home today and told me that he could not be saved. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, his Bible teacher, and he called the man's name, and I don't remember his name, don't care nohow. What his name is, he's a false prophet anyway, said that God predestinated that he could not be saved. Now that is not what the verse said. Pay attention to the verse. Now watch what it says. Romans 8, 28. For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Who did He predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son? Those that He foreknew. Listen, if you're sitting here and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, God Almighty knows that. You understand? So, if God knew you were not going to trust Christ as your personal Savior, He did not glorify you. You understand? Those that He foreknew. Does God foreknow me?
Yes.
Does He foreknow all of you?
Yes.
Well, does God foreknow that you will or will not trust Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
Well, certainly He does. If He don't, He ain't much of a God. He ain't no idol that we bow down to and make a sign to, and the thing can't move, it can't talk, it can't do nothing. It just sits there where somebody put it. We have a God that's omnipotent. He is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's all-powerful. He hears our prayer and He knows us. So watch what he says here. Verse 29, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn of many among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate. Who did he predestinate? Those he foreknew. He didn't say, well, you know, I don't want this one saved. I'm going to send that into hell, and you can't be saved. And no, I don't need you calling on my name. I ain't going to save you. No, he didn't do that. You know why? You know why I know that? Got a verse in your mind right now. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. God would have all men to be saved, and come unto the knowledge of the truth. Listen, the truth in the context of Romans chapter 8 is those that he foreknew. He didn't. You see, there's a doctrine going around that God has predestinated some from birth that they can't be saved. That's a fucking lie of the devil. Mm-hmm. That's straight out of the mouth of Satan. Verse 30, moreover whom he did predestinate, then he also called. How did he call you?
By the gospel.
Did he call you by the gospel of the 12?
No.
He called you by our gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. You can't be saved by the gospel that the 12 preach. Till you can believe that, till hell freezes over, and that's where you'll wind up in the flames of hell. Verse 30, moreover whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also what?
Glorified.
God foreknew me before the foundation of the world. He knew who I'd be born to. He knew what my name would be. He knew where I'd live. And do you not realize that you live in the Bible Belt?
Amen.
You do realize that, don't you? Do you realize why we have an English Bible and English words? Why didn't God leave it over in Jerusalem in the Hebrew tongue? Is the truth going out of the Hebrew tongue over there? No, where's the truth going from? From the Bible Belt. English-speaking people. Now, it's through missionaries and things like that to spread out all over the world, and especially now through computers, you can mash a key on it. I'm told, I don't know nothing about them things, I'm told you can mash a key here in Mobile, Alabama, and they can pick it up in Moscow, Russia over there. Is that true?
Yeah.
So there ain't nothing. God can spread it out all over right now. You understand? Got through a lot of mediums. But what are we to do? We're to believe the book. I'm to believe what he said. Now, with all of that in mind, I want you to compare a few things for what we got of the class here. Go to Acts 26 and go to Matthew chapter 10. Acts 26. Y'all probably know what I'm going to do. Probably do a better job than I can. But nevertheless, is Peter one of the apostles?
Yeah.
Simon Peter? Yeah. Is he one of the 12 apostles?
Yes.
Do y'all know any denominations? There's several of them, I know, that follow the teachings of Peter.
Yeah.
Bunch of them. Love and hang of salvation and pure. That ought to just stir you up. That ought to have to calm down a little bit, David. I get excited about these things because I got loved ones that's being duped and tricked into believing false doctrines and have, you know, where to wind up in hell. And my job is to try to share the truth with people so they can share the truth with people so they can get themselves out of the snare of the devil. And I fall short sometimes. Acts 26. The Lord appeared to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. Paul is standing before the king here, and he's giving his testimony. Verse 13. At midday, O king, I saw in a way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And by the way, Paul's on a journey to Damascus to get anybody that believes on the name of the Son of God in here and persecute them, cause them to blaspheme, spoke against them, cause them to be put to death. That's what he's doing here, and he's giving an account of this. Verse 14, and when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise, stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of the things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people, that's from the Jews, and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. To do what? To open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith in me. Did Jesus Christ send Paul to the Gentiles?
Yes.
Said he did. Go to Matthew chapter 10. Verse 1, Matthew 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples. Do you know where he got them disciples from? Hold your place here and for clarity. Go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. Precept upon precept. Isaiah 28 says, line upon line, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. Now, in Luke chapter 6, verse 13, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter. Well, is Peter one of the 12? He sure is. I'm not going to read the rest of them. Go back to Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called on him his 12 disciples, the 12 disciples, Peter's one of them. He named them apostles. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. Listen to me, please. Think for yourself. Just for a moment. Quit whatever you believe. Think for yourself. These churches, these religions that believe in following Peter, do they heal people?
No.
We got a lot of sick folks in these churches, and they believe in following Peter. Did Jesus Christ give Peter the power to heal the sick?
Yes.
He certainly did. Something's wrong. Verse 2. The names of the 12 apostles are these. The first, Simon, who is called Peter. Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee. John, his brother. Philip, Bartholomew. Thomas, Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus. Livius, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon, the Canaanite. Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12, we just read them. These 12 Jesus sent forth, commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. He didn't suggest not to go. He commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles. Now, you can't beat that. But you know what? Some smart aleck will come along and they said, well, that's before he died. You sure about that? What did he do after he died? Let's look and see. Hold Matthew chapter 10. Go to Luke 24 and Acts chapter 1. You see, I've had people say, well, that's before he died. After he died, he changed his marching orders. No, he didn't. Acts 1, Luke 24. In Luke 24, where Jesus has been crucified, he's been resurrected. Verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, peace be unto you. And they were terrified and frightened, Suppose that they had seen the Spirit descending them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that is I myself, having been seen, for Spirit hath not flesh and bones. Have you seen me? Have you? He didn't say anything about flesh and blood, did he? He done shed his blood. The blood's gone. Verse 40, Luke 24:40. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and feet, and while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, have you here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. He took it and did eat before them and said unto them. You'll find them in verse 33. There's 11 of them. Judas has went and killed himself. He hasn't been replaced yet. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And said unto them, now listen, I'd be a nut to tell you he opened to them the whole Bible. He opened to them Scriptures that he just talked about there. All that's in the book of Moses, and the Psalms, and the prophets concerning me. Then he opened their understanding to those Scriptures. And said unto them, thus is it written, thus is behooved Christ to suffer and arise from the dead the third day. Now verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins, not forgiveness, and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem. Where are they at? Are they in the city of Jerusalem? That's what he said. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. And they were in Acts. Go to Acts chapter 1 now. Did he tell them to tarry in Jerusalem? Okay. Repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name beginning at Jerusalem. Now watch what he says there. Acts chapter 1, and he's dealing with the apostles. John's talking, he's telling them about John, baptizing. Luke is writing this now. Verse 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now watch what he says. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Where were they to begin? Go back to Luke 24, verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at where? Jerusalem. Ain't that what it said? Go back to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. These 12, now he commanded them, saying, go not in the way of the Gentiles, any city of Samaritans, in you not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's what he told them. Now, verse 6, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Y'all know anybody that follows the teachings of Peter in these churches? They've raised the dead. You know, I'd like to talk to my brother. I ain't seen my brother since 1955. Well, 1954, really, because I was in the Marines, gone, and he was in the Air Force when I left in the Marines, and before I got home from the Marines, he got out of the Air Force and went to work for a telephone company, got killed by a drunk, hit him on the wrong side of the road head on, and I hadn't seen him since late 50, well, I think December of 54. He got killed in June, and I was gone over in the Mediterranean. I'd like to talk to him, but you know what, I can see him in my mind's eye right now. He got a birthmark right there, a red birthmark. Is anybody you'd like to talk to about salvation? See, I know my brother was saved. I got a letter at home that he wrote from Greenland, Tule, to my mom and dad when he trusted Christ as his Savior. He, myself, Art Watkins, Joe Watkins, Art was too little, Donald Sims, and there was a couple of other teenagers at Forest Park walked the aisle for Jesus, got baptized, thought we got saved. Later on, while I was in the Marines, it come to me that I wasn't really saved. I knew all the facts. I knew that Christ had died, they had crucified the Messiah, and they had by wicked hands, and this man didn't deserve to die, but he died. But it was not until I was in the Marines that I figured out he died for me. For me. And I'm going to see my brother again someday. But he'll be in a new body, so will I. He's a member of the church, the body of Christ that I'm a member of. You got anybody that you know that ain't saved? The possibility that just because they believed the doctrine of one of the apostles back here or the doctrine of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're not saved. Just possibility. Why don't you clear them up? Why don't you share them that Paul said Christ died for all your sins? What do you need to do? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. After they did, it's too late. I've had to preach funerals of people that nobody knew if the person had ever trusted Christ as their Savior. That's a hard job. It's a hard job. Because you don't know if they went to heaven or hell. It's a hard job. If you ever trusted Christ as your Savior, let somebody know it. Tell somebody about it. But you can't be saved by the doctrine of the 12 apostles. Your salvation hinges on the fact that Paul preached to you the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. 12 never preached that. They preached remission of sins, looking forward to forgiveness at the second coming. We don't look for forgiveness at the second coming. Now back to Matthew chapter 10. And he tells them in verse 16, "Behold, I send you these 12 apostles. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in the synagogues. You shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak." Beloved, if you don't study, you ain't got no speech from God. God ain't going to just open the door and say, "Here, tell them this." You got to study it, put it in your heart and your mind. Then the Holy Spirit will bring it to your mind what to say at the time. But these people have a special power that they didn't have to study. Verse 20. "For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. The brother shall deliver up the brother to death, the father the child, the children shall raise up against their parents, cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved." Now watch verse 23. "But when they persecute you in this city," where are they at? In Jerusalem. He said, beginning at Jerusalem. Acts 1, beginning at Jerusalem. Luke 24:47, beginning at Jerusalem. But when they persecute you in this city, flee into another. For verily I say unto you," he's talking to the 12 apostles, beloved, "ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man become." The Son of Man standing there talking to them. He's talking about the second coming. So over here, they won't be gone over the cities of Jerusalem till the Son of Man become. Then, Matthew 28, like I tried to show last Sunday, Matthew 28 will be in force. "I've received all power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to keep all the commandments that I told you back here." In other words, whatever he told them to do here, they're to do, tell these over here to do. That's the nations that bless the seed of Abraham, that go into the 1,000-year millennial reign, have right to the Matthew 28. But not me and you. The 12 wasn't sent to me and you. They were sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And you can't miss that. Now, one last thing. Go back to, I'll tell you what to do. Just do it this. Take Hebrews chapter 2. Let's do it that way. Hebrews chapter 2. So why do I follow Paul? Because Jesus Christ told me to. Just that simple. Not because some man told me, but because God Almighty said that's the way it is in this dispensation that we now live in. Take Isaiah chapter 8 while you're at it. Isaiah 8. Hebrews chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 8 and Hebrews 2. All right, Isaiah chapter 8, we'll start there. And we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here now. Verse 16, for time's sake. Bind up the testimony. Seal the law among my disciples. Well, beloved, we're not disciples. God is not making disciples today. The Baptists say they are, but God Almighty ain't. We are ambassadors. You understand? There are no disciples today. Verse 17, and I will wait upon the Lord. Second coming, if you please. That hideth his face from the house of Jacob. Y'all know what Matthew chapter 13, now don't turn that. Y'all know what Matthew 13 verse 1 says. Right after Matthew 12, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, called Jesus Christ, said he was casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Y'all know what verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1 says? The Lord went out of the house. And after Acts 12, he spoke in parables. And the 12 asked him, why are you speaking to these people in parables? He said, because it's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Why? Because in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, eyes to see and you can't see, ears to hear and you can't hear. Now, Isaiah chapter 8, now watch what he says here. Verse 18, behold, who is I? The Lord. Jesus Christ, the Lord. Behold, I and the children, the 12 apostles. What are they? Behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in the world from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Did your Bible say that? If it did, I got a garbage can up here. That's where it belongs. It says, I and the children are for signs and wonders where? In Israel from the Lord of hosts. Who said it is a sign to Israel? God Almighty did. I and the Lord are for signs and wonders in Israel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Israel, not Galatians. Excuse me, not Gentiles. Oh, where I got Galatians from. Not Gentiles. Behold, verse 18, behold, I and the children whom the Lord hath given me are for signs and wonders in Israel from the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth in Mount Zion. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 2. Now, we're talking about the Lord here in versus angels. Verse 7, thou madest him, Jesus Christ, thou madest him a little more than the angels, and crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection unto him, he left nothing that is not put unto him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. In other words, he ain't assuming all power yet. You understand? He don't get all power till the last angel has sounded over in the book of Revelation. People just don't believe the book. Verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. You know what that tells me? You can't kill an angel.
Hmm.
Why wasn't he one of... You see, Jehovah's Witness again say that he's one of God's created angels. If he was, he couldn't have died. And if he hadn't have died, me and you wouldn't have no hope. I get beside myself. I swear I do. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now here's our verse. Matches Isaiah 8. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. Well, who were the children given to? Israel, according to Isaiah 8. Go to John chapter 13, and we'll close. John chapter 13. In case you got a problem with the word children there. In John chapter 13, he's dealing with the apostles. He's talking to his apostles. He's not talking to... He's had to suffer with them, and this is after the supper and all. Satan has entered into Judas Iscariot. And after the supper, Satan entered into Satan, so he went out and betrayed the Lord. Now, verse 31. Therefore, when he was gone out, Judas Iscariot, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children. He's talking to the apostles. He ain't talking to these little fellows like us in this class. He's talking to his children. Those that God gave him. I and the children. Little children, yet a little while am I with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. In other words, he's going away. He's coming again over here. John 14, that's what it's about. Second coming. So he's dealing with the apostles. So the 12 are for signs and wonders in Israel. Well, what apostle do we follow? The apostle Paul. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. I appreciate you being in the class this morning. My time's up. I appreciate your time. Good to see each and every one of you.